This program has been described by AudioVision. For information on over 400 video and audio titles, call toll-free 1-866-966-7667 or visit our accessible website, www.audiovisioncanada.com. The contents of this program are protected by copyright and may not be duplicated or used for any commercial purpose without the express written consent of the copyright holders.
Mongrel Media. IMX Communications presents an ImageX production of a Seats 3A and 3C film with narrative description by AudioVision Canada. Nadia Litz. Nikki Barnett. Adrian Dixon. Patricia Crosby. Ellen Page. Dax Ravina. Tom Harting, Director of Photography. Amanda Burt, Costume Designer. Marcia Connolly, Production Designer. Michael Vernon, Editor. Michael O'Neill, Composer. Christopher Zimmer, J. William Ritchie, Executive Producers. Jan Nathanson, Producer. Jennifer Dale, Andrea Dorfman, Writers. Andrea Dorfman, Director. A young woman looks on as her friend speaks.
I have dreams and plans, and I'm afraid that you're holding me back.
Hey, you can have as much freedom as you want.
Not allowing me to develop at the pace.
And to the degree?
To which I aspire. And so I've thought about all the pluses and minuses, and I think it's in my best interest.
In the best interest of both of you, really.
In the best interest of us both, if we were to break up.
The young man stares at both of them.
Every relationship is like a seed waiting to flower. And I'm afraid ours has failed to flower.
It didn't even sprout. It's like a seed that someone tried to plant in unaerated soil and it succumbed to anaerobic bacteria and rotted before it even saw the light of day.
That's right.
Are you trying to tell me there's something else?
Oh, if I were you.
What are you doing here anyway?
The young woman shakes her head and rolls her eyes.
You know what? It's not even you. It's me.
It's the concept of you. It's vague and amorphous, unformed and imprecise, immature, beige.
But not offensive. We had some great times.
It's like, even though you're almost an adult, you have failed to define yourself as an individual with effect, panache, elan.
It takes some people longer than others.
Charisma, vitality, relevance, raison d'etre, mission or purpose, life goal. I mean, even arrogance would be an asset, just as some sort of evidence that you formulated an idea of yourself as a motivated human being.
Daniel!
Furious, Daniel leaves the young woman, Phoebe, and her friend, Robin. Phoebe smirks.
Why would anyone settle for mediocrity?
Love that boy.
I come from a long line of spectacular women. Scientists, diplomats, entrepreneurs, artists.
Young Phoebe prances around her mother in the garden of a large house.
Look, I can do the split.
Phoebe's mother smiles at her wanly.
My mother's own plans of becoming a geneticist were thwarted when she suffered a nervous breakdown while doing her PhD.
I can name all the capitals. Look, I can jump rope.
Stop it, Phoebe.
I can compose music.
As a child, I have fond memories of the time we spent in the garden as she convalesced.
I can ride a horse. Parlez français.
Phoebe, you're giving me a headache.
She was a great role model and taught me many things.
I can Japanese brush paint. I can refract light through a prism. Program a computer.
Her mother pops a pill.
I learned to always have high standards. That greatness is only born out of hard work. And that success is measured by one's accomplishments.
Young Phoebe has a list of objectives, including breed guppies and spelling bee champ. In the present, Phoebe and Robin share a modest suburban house. In the kitchen, Phoebe crosses an item off a new list, Start Memoir. The list, entitled Accomplished Before Graduation, itemizes an array of goals, most of which have been crossed off, such as perform in a string quartet, Dean's List, Greenpeace Civil Disobedience, and Sign Language. But some items remain outstanding, such as kayaking certification and wine tasting. Phoebe fantasizes about addressing her graduating class.
It is my great and personal honor to receive the Victoria Sidney Award for outstanding graduating students. Rest assured, I do not regard this moment as the pinnacle of my success, but merely a sturdy stepping stone from which I will proceed to much, much greater achievements. Onward!
She raises a fist. As her fantasy dissolves, Phoebe looks out a window at a teenage boy mowing the lawn. She turns back to her notebook.
Hello. Daniel. No, Robin is still not home, and even if she was, she wouldn't want to talk to you. Sorry.
She hangs up. Robin enters.
Surprise, I bought supper.
You're fast, I'm starving.
No problem.
I felt like cooking.
Robin looks at Phoebe's tiny swan-shaped appetizers.
Sri Lankan Bros was canceled, so I had a bit of time. I thought it'd be better than regular old pasta.
Robin puts away the pasta she bought.
Did you, pick up my art history paper?
Yeah.
When Robin hands her the paper, Phoebe examines it.
What kind of grade is 89? 1 point would have killed her. Uh-oh.
What?
Phoebe points at a plastic bag.
What are those? Mushrooms? Were they out of wild mushrooms?
No.
We can do better than that. Don't you think?
Early the next morning, Robin is asleep in bed.
Robin, let's go! Wakey, wakey!
Robin groggily looks at her alarm clock. It's 5:43. Soon after, with Robin sleepily trailing behind, Phoebe searches the woods. Phoebe crouches beside a clump of large mushrooms.
What are these? Shaggy mane? Morale?
Robin consults a book.
I know it's not an oyster mushroom. Jack-o'-lantern. Poisonous.
How poisonous? Delirium, severe pain, deep coma, and eventually death.
Soon after.
I thought these woods were supposed to have gourmet mushrooms. We've been here forever. And we haven't even seen the Smurf. I'm getting delirious.
Don't joke.
Look.
Phoebe hurries through some underbrush.
We found one. I can't believe we found one.
Good, then we can go. I'm exhausted.
Go? We just got started.
Phoebe walks away.
Don't forget to hold it out so it sends off spores.
Robin sleepily picks the mushroom and holds it away from her body as she follows Phoebe. At home, Phoebe crosses Forage for Edible Mushrooms off her list. Later, at the university, Robin walks away from a building, squinting into the afternoon sun.
Hey, guys.
Three girls lounge on the lawn nearby. One wears a halter top with the word beer on it in big letters.
Where have you been these days? We never see you around.
You know, I've got a lot to do with graduation coming up.
As if we're qualified to do anything. So what are you doing this app?
I think Phoebe and I have plans.
What are you building, a superconductor? Oh, you should come over to our place. We're watching Y&R.
I wouldn't know what was going on.
Oh, we can fill you in.
Phoebe approaches.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, Phoebes. So, are you gonna come over?
Is it still on at 4?
Yeah.
I don't see why not.
There's no way.
When Phoebe stalks off, Robin makes a face and follows her. Robin's friends watch as they sit nearby.
11:15 yoga. We'll be done by 1.
Phoebe pulls out a hefty notebook.
None of your damn business.
What?
None of your damn business.
The Arundhati Roy project.
That takes us to 3:30. 3:40.
That leaves a break before kayaking.
But I have screening written down here. We have tickets to a sim-carded screening.
Maybe you meant screening your phone calls.
I don't have time to look for tickets. Don't you have anything written down?
Look, let's just forget it. We can hang out with Liz and...
What? Forget it. As if. This drives me insane.
Look, if it was that important, you would have written it in green.
We got up before dawn this morning.
Wow. I haven't seen a sunrise in decades.
I really want to go. Can we?
We have cheesies.
Not a chance.
Phoebe marches off. Soon after, Robin follows 2 steps behind Phoebe. Robin pauses to tie her shoe, then hurries after Phoebe. Later, at the kayak lesson,
you flip, lose your paddle.
Phoebe, Robin, and others float in a swimming pool in their kayaks.
Hold everyone up. Not cool. That's why you have to learn the buddy rescue.
Robin calmly capsizes her kayak. She hangs upside down in the tiny boat, bubbles trailing from her mouth. When Phoebe pulls her kayak alongside, Robin grabs its bow and flips herself upright. Phoebe smiles proudly.
Good, now switch.
Phoebe capsizes her kayak. She smacks her hands on the bottom of the boat, but Robin doesn't approach with her kayak. Phoebe feels for Robin's kayak, but Robin just watches her. Phoebe gets out of the kayak and swims to the surface. Robin looks at her indifferently. Phoebe is furious. Later, a summer breeze blows through trees outside Phoebe and Robin's house. Inside, Phoebe sautés the wild mushrooms in a skillet. Robin holds a glass of white wine. Phoebe pours wine into another glass. She's setting up a wine tasting with numbered sleeves around various bottles to mask their names. She pries the glass from Robin's fingers and gives her another. As Phoebe crosses wine tasting off her list, Robin quickly drains her glass.
So, if you can't do buddy rescue, then there's no point in taking kayaking at all. It'll have been a total waste of time. What do you think of that one? Kind of grassy?
Robin is reading a magazine.
I don't know. Well, Rick said that we can try again next week. Oh. Do you think this tastes like a green apple?
I'm not sure.
Or an unripe plum. Come on, you have to say what it tastes like.
Like an unripe plum.
Come on, that one's taken. Juice. You can do better than that.
Moss.
Moss? Hmm. That's
Very good.
Phoebe looks at the call display.
Daniel.
And hangs up.
Phoebe?
What?
That was so insensitive.
Well, the sooner he gets over you, then the sooner he can get on with his life.
Poor guy.
Phoebe sips a glass of wine.
Mm. This is the best one yet. It tastes like honey. But, you know, this book is pretty limited, so...
I shouldn't have broken up with him with you there.
It tastes like it's been poured through river stones. I'd give it a 6.9.
What would you give it?
Phoebe.
I'm sorry, what were you saying? I have to go home this weekend.
You can't. Is someone sick?
No, I just have to.
But I got us theater tickets. You're gonna love this play. It's been nominated for all sorts of awards and...
Robin frowns at her.
Oh, dinner's ready. Oh, smells so amazing. We found the best mushrooms ever.
I need some time at home. I'll be back Monday.
Phoebe nods reluctantly. Later, in bed, Phoebe reaches for a book, opens it, and thumbs through its pages. In the morning, she paints food coloring on a cookie shaped like her. Phoebe looks proudly at her creation. Later, Robin flies home. The seat beside her is empty. Robin is irritated when a young man sits in the seat beside her.
Hi.
She smirks briefly and looks away.
Dry in here.
Robin looks through her purse. She discovers Phoebe's cookie. A tag on it reads, "Thinking of you, love, Phoebe." Robin stares at it sourly. Later, Robin fills out a quiz in a magazine. It's entitled, "Are You Satisfied?" Her seatmate awakens and sees the quiz. Robin looks at him, then quickly turns away.
Can't sleep.
Can't sleep on planes.
Me neither. Especially not now. This trip will change my life.
Where are you going?
The desert. Eventually. I need to take some time for myself. Life was starting to determine me, but I need to determine life.
Really?
We need to live each day of our future in the present, or else we're not really living, are we?
No, we're not.
Meanwhile, at home, Phoebe does yoga poses. Then crosses out the item, inner peace. Later, Phoebe tries to read Braille with her eyes closed. With her eyes still shut, she crosses the kitchen and fumbles for the phone. It's Robin calling from the plane.
You heard me. I'm not coming back. But I'm finally going to embrace my future and live every day of it in the present.
But surely you could do that later.
No. I'm determining my own life. With you, I thought I was free, but I was in chains.
You're taking that Rousseau quote entirely out of context.
And then I met Devin, and I realized I can cast off those chains.
Devin smiles at her indulgently.
Devin?
He sat next to me on the plane, as fate would have it, and we're hitchhiking to the desert where we're camping indefinitely.
You're throwing away everything that we have here for some guy you met on a plane. What about our list?
Your list? Phoebe, you're too much. You're giving me migraines.
Migraines? I thought that we were best friends.
You don't even know me. In fact, you've never even had an intimate relationship. You've never even had a boyfriend.
So what?
So you don't care about anybody.
I love humanity. I volunteer.
You just don't get it, do you?
Robin hangs up.
Hello? Didn't you get my cookie?
Soon after, Phoebe's list, which includes such achievements as trek in Nepal, play bagpipes, visit an oil rig, and learn basic plumbing, gets a new item. Boyfriend. With a determined glint in her eye, Phoebe turns away from the list and walks toward the door. Stepping outside into the brilliant sunshine, she ignores a wave from the teenage lawn cutter. Soon after, at a crowded communal garden jammed with individual patches, Phoebe kneels, fencing off a plot of earth with a length of string and a few sticks. She casts an appraising glance at a young man working nearby.
Those are some great-looking herbs. Oh,
thanks. Looks like you still have some planting to do.
Still mapping it out.
Well, I got tons of peppermint if you want.
Thanks.
He tosses a large stick.
Shouldn't put that in the compost.
Why not? It's organic.
Well, it doesn't decompose at the same rate as the other brown material, so you'll just have to sift it out.
He looks at her strangely. Later, Phoebe takes part in a study group.
I find it intellectually stimulating to read this dialogue. It raises some important points.
Yeah, like what?
Well, Plato would have had all the poets banished from the city, which is totally hypocritical because he himself wrote tragedies. Why should I value anything that a hypocrite has to say?
Phoebe cringes.
What?
Well, first of all, Plato wrote the lines, but the character of Socrates said it.
Whatever, it's...
Well, it's inaccurate to state that Plato said anything when he's not present for the dialogue.
Does it really matter?
Phoebe shakes her head.
It was only your first error.
Where was I?
Later, outside, Phoebe tosses a ball in the air and catches it. She enters a circle of people juggling on a lawn and steps toward a young man.
You seem to have the hang of it.
Serious about this circus stuff.
Really?
Absolutely. I want it to be me. Clowns, the tigers.
Tigers?
Yeah.
Tigers in cages, jumping through hoops while some scantily clad near stripper woman thrashes them with a whip.
What?
Phoebe drifts away. Soon after, she enters a student residence and passes a couple nuzzling each other in the hall. Nearby, a handsome young man practices his golf putt.
Hey, I know you want to win, but can you do this one other time?
I don't have any other time. I gotta fit things in where I can.
This remark piques Phoebe's interest.
You almost hit me in the head, man. Listen, I have responsibility to perform for the team. You can understand.
Phoebe wanders along the hall and peeks into a dorm room. Inside, the handsome golfer is busy studying. Phoebe lingers for a moment, then leaves. Later, at the campus library, the afternoon sun warms the towering columns that frame the building's entrance. Inside, Phoebe walks quickly among the stacks. Suddenly, she stops and stares, then advances. The golfer doodles pictures of dogs in a library book.
Hey.
He conceals his scribbles.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you? Good book?
Yeah.
If you're really interested in Bolivian agriculture, you should read about the raised field studies in the Amazon.
Thanks.
But you probably already know that. You're majoring in geography, right?
International Development Studies.
And what made you choose that?
I've done some traveling, and I realized that we really need to raise awareness.
Phoebe nods encouragingly.
Of what?
The international scene.
You're so right. When I was in Togo last summer, digging a well. Do you want to come to my place for Laotian food?
Yeah, Laotian rocks.
Okay.
I
gotta go.
All right.
As she leaves, he scrawls a note on his book. Locate Laotia. Soon after, a little girl hauls an ancient television set past Phoebe's house in a wagon. Phoebe strides along the sidewalk with bulging bags of produce. The boy cuts Phoebe's lawn. A pretty teenage girl reclines on a nearby bench, reading. Phoebe crosses the street toward the little girl.
Hi!
Hi, Bugs.
I like your sweater. Where did you get it?
I made it.
Why?
I couldn't find anything in the store that I liked.
Well, those are all the sweaters at the store.
They weren't the right color.
And you like that blue. What do you call that color blue?
I don't know.
The boy approaches them.
Bugs, she's not bothering you, is she?
No. For your information, we're just talking about clothes. You're not the boss of me, and you're flying low.
The boy adjusts his fly.
Do you two know each other?
He's my brother. He lives here, too.
Right across the street.
Well, it's nice to meet you.
Bye.
Bye.
Soon after, Phoebe crosses Northeast Asian cooking off her list. Her dinner guest arrives.
I got stuff for Pho instead. I hope you're not too disappointed.
Pho?
Oh, Vietnamese noodle soup. It's a little more pedestrian. Let's get cooking.
Cooking?
Oh, mind the bromeliad.
He gawks around vacantly.
This is a nice place. It's all clean.
In the kitchen, he watches Phoebe chop vegetables.
I haven't had a whole lot of time to cook. I'm pretty involved at school.
With classes?
No, no, it's not like ace students are the ones running the world.
Phoebe bites her tongue.
I started Comfort the Kids. It's a charity.
That must take up a lot of your time.
It's not the half of it. I thought it was lacking in student government, so I chair the social committee. We're planning an incredible grad this year. You're gonna love it.
I'm sure I will. These need peeling and julienning.
He stares as she places a bowl of carrots in front of him. Then he picks up a peeler.
And then to round off the athletic section of my CV, I'm the captain of the golf team.
Golf.
Yeah, I've been playing since I was a kid.
Well, I'd like to play, but golf courses are environmental nightmares.
It's a lot of fun.
He hacks away ineptly at a carrot.
Haven't you ever peeled a carrot before? You do it away from the body.
He tries, but fails. So she confiscates the peeler.
Thanks.
Phoebe peels the carrots expertly. The golfer picks up his glass of wine and snoops around the kitchen until he spies Phoebe's list on the fridge.
Is this some sort of a joke?
Only if I don't complete it.
Kayaking certification. Wine tasting. Learn all of the constellations. Save someone's life. All this before graduation.
She shrugs. He takes a swallow of wine.
meditate, batik, ice climbing, read Old Testament.
Piece of cake.
He sees the boyfriend item on the second page of the list and raises his eyebrows.
Dinner should be ready in about a half an hour.
After dinner, they watch a film on Fast Forward.
I'm trying to watch every film considered French New Wave. There's a lot of them, so I have to fast forward. You don't mind, do you?
I gotta get going. I got a Spanish test tomorrow.
Oh, no, don't go. I can help you study. I spent a summer in Nicaragua.
So what, are you gonna give yourself some certificate after you're done watching these?
No.
Listen, I hate to tell you, but it's not like you're gonna get ahead by putting I cook weird food or watch weird movies on your resume.
It's not for my resume.
You should have done something like Comfort the Kids. That looks really good.
Some people might be receptive to something a little different.
Like what, that stuff you got on the fridge?
She looks at him sharply.
Clearly we have different ideas on what constitutes our success.
Yeah, 99% of the people would disagree with you. Why don't you write your LSATs? That's a way better use of your time.
Why would I want to become a lawyer?
What's wrong with being a lawyer?
It's a life full of tedium, punctuated by moments of stress.
My father's a lawyer.
Phoebe resumes watching the film.
Look, thank you for dinner and good luck with your endeavors.
He drains his wine glass. He tries to stand, but falls back on the couch.
Jamie.
Soon after, Phoebe rolls her eyes and reads a book by flashlight as Jamie vomits into a flower bed. Next morning, Phoebe does yoga in her bedroom. A lawnmower engine shatters her meditative mood. Outside, the teenager begins cutting the lawn. Phoebe rushes outside.
It's a bit early!
Lauren?
What are you doing?
I'm your neighbor, Fraser.
I know that.
Well, I've been your lawnmower for the past year.
Oh.
You know, there's some past in your shrubs.
It's vomit.
Fraser recoils.
Oh, get out. Looks like it's fresh out of the pot. Come here.
Phoebe goes to his side. They stare at the vomit.
It's faux.
What?
Noodle soup.
That's disgusting. I'm not touching that.
Well, you're being paid.
To mow your lawn. You're the one in college.
So?
So vomiting's a way of life in college.
Well, do you intend to go to college?
Yes.
Then this is good preparation.
Pass me that frisbee.
Phoebe steps away and returns with the frisbee.
Well, what are you gonna do with it?
And cover it up.
Oh, it's not gonna fit.
Sure it is.
Fraser grimaces as he places the frisbee over the pile of vomit.
Thanks. I owe you one.
They walk away. Later, inside, Phoebe crosses the French movies and boyfriend off her list. She enters the living room and looks down at the couch.
Wake up.
Jamie awakens and squints at her.
Huh? I let you sleep in.
He looks at the barf bowl beside him.
It's okay. Look, I'm sorry for last night if I was being a jerk. I just drank too much.
That's okay. There's soy chino and water in the fridge. Help yourself. I gotta fly. I have a shift at Stressline.
You leaving?
I'll see you tonight at kayaking.
Kayaking?
You're my partner, remember?
She walks out.
Oh, my God.
Meanwhile, Robin and Devin are hitchhiking.
We've been here 2 hours. Maybe we should take the bus.
Are you giving up already?
No, but this backpack is oppressive. It's killing me.
Here, let me take it.
She takes the backpack from Devin, who wears ugly sunglasses and a battered straw hat.
And I have a blister the size of a quarter. I can't do this.
Yes, you can.
Meanwhile, at Stressline, Phoebe is on the phone.
Absolutely. Speaking as someone who has a boyfriend, I feel compelled to advise you that your clinging to a stale relationship is merely a way for you to avoid dealing with your own lack of fulfillment.
A coworker gives her a strange look.
Think of it this way. You're redirecting energy. If your boyfriend didn't exist, I suspect you'd let energy radiate out randomly into the atmosphere where it's completely ineffective.
Phoebe, follow the script.
Love him. Dump him. And get it together. You only live once.
Hello?
Her coworker grabs the phone.
Great. You lost her. What are you doing?
I didn't think that the manual was accurate.
How would you know?
I have a boyfriend.
He resumes his call.
I'm sorry about that. Go ahead.
Later, on campus, Phoebe pursues Jamie along a sidewalk.
Hey. Hey. So, I'll pick you up later tonight for kayaking.
I'd love to. I don't think this is working out.
What's not working out?
He gestures at her and himself.
This?
Phoebe is taken aback.
Oh, no. Why don't you think about it a little bit longer?
I can't. It gives me a headache.
Headache. So you're breaking up with me?
We had a date.
So you wouldn't say that you were my boyfriend?
We had dinner once.
And I suppose that you wouldn't consider being my kayaking partner?
No. I gotta go.
He walks off, leaving Phoebe disconcerted.
What an awful place you should have seen.
She walks in another direction.
Sure as you were made, he put the whole world on. And then to add them up, he used an
app. At home, Phoebe's list hangs on the refrigerator door. She steps toward it. Staring at the end of the list, she sees the crossed-off entry, Boyfriend. On the first page, kayaking certification remains incomplete. Phoebe leaves the house. On campus, she walks by herself and spots Robin's friends lounging on the grass nearby. She approaches them.
Are you sleeping?
No.
Just taking a break.
You're lucky you have time. I have no time. I'm so busy.
So are we.
I was wondering if you wanted to come over and watch L&R sometime.
Y&R.
What did I say?
L&R.
Oh. Well, you could come over to my place and watch it, so long as it's not on cable.
It is.
I just thought that since you asked us before...
Tell Robin to give us a call. And we'll figure something out.
Yeah. I'm free anytime. Except most... Tuesdays and Thursdays and every Friday. Do any of you like paddling?
Soon after, Phoebe attends a kayaking lesson. She watches as the others pair off.
All right, everyone. Now we're going to do buddy rescue.
Robin and Devin are in a tent beside the road.
My basal level is plummeting. I think I'm getting hypothermia. We should have stayed at that motel back there. I'm cold.
Disgusted, Robin throws a pair of mittens at him.
Shut the door. Shut the door. I'm fucking freezing.
Robin zips up the tent flap. Back at the pool, Phoebe paddles forlornly by herself. Afterward, she gloomily walks home from the lesson. Phoebe approaches the house. She stops and watches bugs playing across the street.
Hey, Phoebe! Want my new dress?
Phoebe crosses the street.
I just made it with a pillowcase.
Way to go. It's very resourceful.
Thanks. My mother says I'm very resourceful.
They bounce a ball back and forth.
She's gonna help me make a dress.
Yeah? What color?
No idea what color it's gonna be.
Bugs.
What?
Fraser steps toward them.
Leave Phoebe alone.
Bugs makes a face at him as she leaves. Phoebe holds the ball and looks at him forlornly. Fraser thrusts his hands in his pocket self-consciously. Soon after, they sit on the curb together.
It started when my best friend...
Robin.
Yeah, Robin. She won't even come back for graduation. We've been planning it all year.
Maybe she has personal issues.
I think so. And then my boyfriend dumped me. But as it happens, we weren't even going out.
And you were in love with him.
What?
I mean, you liked him a lot.
Not particularly. I'm pretty ambivalent.
Huh. So, why were you going out with him then?
He seemed... motivated.
Most relationships don't work out anyway. Just look at the divorce rate.
He was a vacuous, pusillanimous individual.
Yeah, that's the worst.
You're right. I can't stand a weak spirit.
So, what else?
Here I am, I've sunk so low that I'm pouring my heart out to a total stranger.
We're not strangers, we're neighbors.
I guess I never made the whole boyfriend thing a priority. You know how romantic entanglements can...
Entangle.
It's complicated.
Complicated, so you should straighten it out.
That could take all night.
Well, I have time.
I don't.
As they part ways, he crosses the road to his house, and she heads for hers. Later, Phoebe finishes writing a children's book with a calligraphy pen. She inspects the last line, "Never judge a carrot by the color of its skin." Then closes the book and looks at her cover illustration. It's titled, The Bunny Who Loved Parsnips. She sips a glass of iced tea. Soon after, she crosses Write and Illustrate Children's Book off her list. Outside, the teenage girl who was lying on the bench waters a lawn. Through rose-tinted aviator sunglasses, she watches Fraser as he cuts a lawn nearby. As she looks at him, he waves to her, but she ignores him. when she looks at him again, he notices and waves half-heartedly. She snubs him again, puts down the hose, and walks away. Fraser resumes working. The girl lies on a blanket, sunning herself. Phoebe catches Fraser looking at her.
Is that your girlfriend?
Phoebe.
Is that your girlfriend across the street?
No, that's just Suzanne.
Do you have a crush on her?
No.
Come on, I told you my secrets.
No, I don't really. She just likes to lead me on. Well, she's been doing it since grade 5.
Doesn't that bother you?
Not so much.
Huh. What are you doing tonight?
I don't know. Nothing.
Later, at the pool, Phoebe performs the buddy rescue kayak maneuver. She grabs onto Fraser's kayak and rights herself. Fraser looks at her wide-eyed. And she beams happily. Afterwards, they walk past a basketball court.
So, what do you want to do now?
I should go. I have a German exam on Wednesday.
I could help you study.
Thanks, but I don't think so. You've already been a huge help to me. Thanks.
I'm gonna test you on your vocabulary.
Do you speak German?
I can't even pass French. But I mean, German could be my thing.
Oh. Sure.
They sit on some bleachers. She passes him a notebook.
This is all color-coded.
Thanks.
You have too much time on your hands.
I have no time on my hands. If there's one thing I have too little of, it's time.
If you say so.
Just start.
Okay, to start.
Anfangen.
To travel.
Reisen.
Cookie?
That's not on the list.
I mean, you want a cookie? I'm starving.
He eats an Oreo.
No, thanks.
What, do you have an eating disorder?
No. I don't eat junk food.
Girl.
It's true.
Then you should try it.
No, thanks.
Say you were at someone's cottage and they ran out of food except junk food.
I wouldn't eat it. I'd leave.
Say you were snowed in.
People can go 3 weeks without food, 3 days without water, and 3 minutes without oxygen.
And then you die of starvation. Everyone else would end up beating you. Connect cannibalism to that little list of yours.
Very funny.
If you don't eat this, I'm gonna think you have an eating disorder. Half the girls in my class do.
Does Susanna?
I don't know.
Phoebe takes an Oreo and goes to bite it.
What are you doing? You have to eat the white part first.
He separates the cookie's halves.
There you have it.
She samples the cream center.
Good. I say good in German.
Guten.
Later, they play croquet.
Score!
You're good at everything. I've been playing croquet all my life, and you're winning.
There's lots of things that I can't do, but I have played before.
You're just trying not to make me feel bad.
I don't dance.
Who doesn't dance?
I don't.
So you don't like music?
Oh, no, I love music. I play the cello. It's totally different.
So I'll teach you.
No, I know how to dance. I just don't like to.
So you just can't do it properly. Here. Watch me.
Fraser puts on a headset attached to a Walkman.
See, you just have to relax. I practice in the mirror all the time.
He bobs and weaves around.
The trick is to lead with your neck.
That's why I don't dance.
Huh?
You look like a doofus.
I do?
No.
No, I'm just kidding. You look great. Do you have a headache?
No, I think I just hurt my neck a little.
That's why I don't dance. It's your shot.
Later, Fraser crosses the street towards Susanna.
So do you mow her lawn or something?
Yeah.
He steps past her and hesitates.
But, we were just hanging out.
As he walks on, Susanna looks after him uncertainly. In her kitchen, Phoebe crosses kayaking certification off her list and envisions her commencement speech.
Think of those unique individuals who have changed the course of history. They are the ones that will be remembered. For they are truly outstanding.
Thank you.
Phoebe smiles in anticipation of the moment. Meanwhile, Robin leaves the tent with her backpack, steps toward the road, and starts hitchhiking. Next day, in Phoebe's kitchen.
I have a really good chance of winning, but you never know for sure. But, I mean, I don't know anyone that's completed a biathlon or built a sauna or finished reading Ulysses, so.
Now you can add kayak.
I did.
She smiles at Fraser.
When do you find out?
They call you on grad day before the ceremony.
And what do you get, like, a trophy?
It's not a hockey tournament. No, they put your name on a plaque.
I think you'll win.
Thank you.
They toast with lemonade. Later, as Phoebe and Fraser walk along a residential street, Jamie and the guy from Stressline walk toward them.
I don't know. I can see the awards committee loving Stressline. They're saving lives.
Yeah, but Comfort the Kids is giving the university global reach.
I had to ride on my international. You already have global experience from your trip to Guatemala. I've only been one place.
You could have used your trip to Aruba.
Get out of here. You're a shoo-in.
Oh, no. There's Phoebe.
Oh, great. What's she doing with that kid? Hey.
Hi.
What are you up to, Phoebe?
I'm teaching Fraser how to navigate by the stars. He's my neighbor.
Yeah? Take astrology, too?
Phoebe is amused.
Astronomy is a very useful thing to know.
That's what I meant.
And Phoebe passed her kayak certification, top for class.
I had a great partner.
It's a 2-hour test. I could have never passed.
The two young men exchanged disdainful glances.
Cool. Okay, kids. Great time.
Thanks, we will.
When Jamie secretly gestures to Fraser that Phoebe is nuts, Fraser looks at him, puzzled. Then hurries after her. That night.
Okay, from the bright one, you gotta go over to the even brighter one.
Forget it, I can't see it.
Okay, you will. Go over to the left. Now, directly below it, there's sort of a twinkling one.
I see stars. I don't see a wolf.
Hold on.
As they lie back on a blanket, Phoebe takes his hand and points it at the sky.
You have to connect the dots. See, if you find the twinkly one, there, you can see the head. Okay? And then there's the back. There.
And there's the leg.
Yeah.
I see it.
That's right.
They drop their arms, but keep holding hands. Later, Phoebe tosses and turns in bed. She opens her eyes and thinks. In the morning, she pulls a tray of home-baked Oreo cookies out of the oven and smiles as Fraser burns a CD entitled Phoebe's Dance Mix. Phoebe spreads white filling between the cookie halves. Later, She smiles when she finds Fraser's flower-garnished CD in her mailbox. Fraser discovers a cookie on his lawn and sees the rest sitting on his lawnmower. Meanwhile, as she listens to Fraser's CD, Phoebe hesitantly practices his dance technique. As Fraser wolfs down Phoebe's cookies, Phoebe gets into the music. Later, the two play a game of croquet. Another day, Fraser presents Phoebe with a garland of flowers. She smiles delightedly and wears it like a crown. As she gyrates wildly in the kitchen to Fraser's music, she knocks her list off the fridge door. Phoebe grins at Fraser as they play another game of croquet. Later, the two perch together atop a piece of playground equipment. As the afternoon wanes, Phoebe and Fraser walk home, holding hands. As they stop close to her house, she holds up the garland.
Thanks. I had
fun.
Yeah.
Me too.
They kiss briefly. As Phoebe shyly averts her gaze, he wheels his bicycle across the street toward his house. Phoebe walks up her driveway to the front door. Later, she naps in her underwear.
Hello?
Hi, it's Robin. You aren't sleeping, are you?
Sort of. Are you calling from the desert?
No,
from the plane. I just thought I'd let you know I'm coming back.
You are? Is everything okay? Is Devin coming
with you?
That didn't work out.
Sorry.
Are you okay?
Yeah. That doesn't mean I take back what I said. I'm only coming back to go to graduation.
Well, let me know if you want me to pick you up at the airport.
I'm sure you'll
be busy.
No, not if you want me to pick you up. Great to see you.
Confused, Robin frowns at the receiver and hangs up. Next day, Fraser cuts Susanna's lawn. Susanna appears, wearing a halter top and a short skirt. She picks up a watering can and sprinkles some flowers. When Fraser turns off the mower to clean it, she smiles at him.
Oh, hey. Aren't you cold?
Susanna is taken aback. Later, wearing a jean jacket, she walks up to Bugs, who's playing with a ball.
So, what has your brother been up to these days?
What do you mean?
I mean, does he have a girlfriend or something? Who is it?
Phoebe.
Phoebe? I don't know any... Does she go to our school?
Yep.
What does she look like?
Pretty. With clothes like mine.
Prettier than I am?
Yep.
Later, Phoebe steps outdoors, smiling. As she walks away, the list gathers dust under the fridge. Phoebe leisurely walks along a tree-lined sidewalk, reveling in the sunny day. At her garden plot, she tends blooming flowers with a trowel. Satisfied, she steps out of the plot and stands back to admire her handiwork. Meanwhile, Fraser stops by Phoebe's house. No one answers, so he steps back from the house and peers at the windows. Fraser pulls a pad and a pen out of his backpack and scrawls a note. Misspelling Phoebe's name, he invites her to dinner at his place at 6:30. He hesitates, then adds the word love before his name. Fraser folds the note and puts it in Phoebe's mailbox. When he rides away on his bike, Susanna blocks his path. Irritated, he stops in front of her.
My parents can't pay you to cut the grass today.
Huh?
You can cut it, but they can't pay you.
I wasn't supposed to.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm in a bit of a hurry.
Yeah, never mind.
He rides off.
You wouldn't care.
He circles back.
Is everything okay?
No. My stepsister took the emergency money and disappeared. Well, I should really be out looking for her. But I don't want to go alone.
Car stops in front of Phoebe's house. Robin gets out with her backpack. As the car pulls away, she contemplates the house with dismay. Resigned, she steps toward it. Susanna and Fraser begin their search.
So I haven't really seen you around much.
You haven't?
Well, no. Not really. What have you been doing?
Nothing. She wouldn't be hiding, would she?
Maybe. I guess I just thought that you might have a girlfriend or something.
No.
Bug said you did. Some girl named Phoebe that goes to our school. But the only Phoebe that goes to Central is Phoebe Chang, and she's in grade 12. It's not Phoebe Chang, is it?
No, it's just this girl, Phoebe, that I've been hanging out with. You wouldn't know her.
Well, how'd you meet her?
Just around.
Is she nice?
Yeah, she's really nice.
Bug says she's pretty.
Yeah, she's pretty and smart, funny, popular at her school. Which you wouldn't know.
I bet you don't even have a girlfriend named Phoebe. I bet you don't even have a girlfriend at all.
Phoebe sits on the living room couch, brushing powder on her face with a makeup brush. She looks into her compact mirror, snaps it shut, and smiles dreamily.
"21?"
Susanna is stunned.
21.
I think so. Something like that.
Okay, no offense, but why is she going out with you?
Why wouldn't she want to go out with me?
You're not even good-looking or funny or buff.
Are we looking for your sister or what? Because if not, I have other things to do.
Look, you just want to be with some girl who wants to have sex with you. You'd screw yourself to death if you could.
That's it. I was supposed to make dinner for Phoebe tonight, but instead, I went with your stupid story, and I won't even have time.
He rides off.
Yeah, to buy condoms for your orgy?
Back at the house.
I'm so sorry that it didn't work out for you and Devin.
Oh, it was a stupid, spontaneous decision. He filled a need at the time.
It's okay. It's important to live in the present.
I guess.
He made you feel comfortable, and he liked you for who you are.
Sort of.
That's important.
So you have a date tonight?
I wouldn't call it a date, exactly.
With this guy, Fraser? He has horrible handwriting and he can't spell. Looks like it could be written by the kid across the street.
Robin gives her Fraser's note.
It is Fraser from across the street.
Why is he writing you notes like that?
We're friends.
What kind of friends?
Phoebe remembers the kiss.
Good friends.
Don't you think Fraser might have a crush on you?
I don't know. I never asked him.
So do you realize how this looks to other people?
Meanwhile, Fraser enters a drugstore, trying to look casual.
It's not like we're having sex.
Well, I'm sure. He's hoping you will.
Well, I'm not. It's not like that.
In the drugstore.
Yeah, can I get some condoms, please?
You want small, medium, or large?
At the house.
We hang out and talk.
At the store.
How big's a large?
At the house.
So you see him all the time. You're having dinner at his house tonight, and his mother's not going to be home. And I noticed you crossed boyfriend off the list.
That was someone else. I really like Fraser, but he's not my boyfriend.
Phoebe, that is a boyfriend. What is wrong with you? You can't keep making up your own rules. In the real world, which you really do live in, with the rest of us, by the way, 21-year-old women don't date 14-year-old boys. It's demented.
Phoebe considers these words. In the meantime, Fraser has left the store and is stuffing a condom into his wallet. At Fraser's house, Bugs is stirring a gooey green mixture in a large bowl. Fraser races home on his bike. Bugs spreads the mixture into a pie crust. Fraser pedals furiously across a field. Bugs places the pie on a table set for two. Phoebe crosses the street toward Fraser's house. She hesitates for a moment, then gingerly climbs the front steps. She looks at the driveway, which is littered with Bugs' toys. Phoebe climbs the last few steps to the front door. Phoebe turns and hurries away from the house, but meets Fraser pedaling toward her on his bike.
Phoebe! Sorry I'm late. I never got time to make dinner.
Oh, that's okay. We can do it another time.
No, I worked it all out. I picked something up.
Okay.
I'll meet you inside.
As he pedals away, Phoebe wonders if she's made the right decision. Inside, at dinner.
So I was thinking we could go to the lake next week.
I'm not sure if I'm still gonna be here.
Why not?
Well, I'm graduating. You know that.
Yeah, but I thought now you were staying for the rest of the summer.
Well, the award gives me a grant to travel for a year, so I may not even be in the country. But it's not for sure.
I want to show you something.
I should probably go.
Come on.
He steps away from the table. Phoebe follows reluctantly. As they enter Fraser's bedroom, Phoebe walks slowly around, looking at the pictures on the walls. She passes two pictures of football players.
Is that you?
No, that's Bugs.
Could be you.
That's me.
Phoebe stoops to examine the photo. Mm. She smiles at Fraser.
Such a cute kid.
Fraser gazes at her.
You're the most beautiful girl I've ever seen. Even famous people.
He leans toward her.
Fraser, don't.
She blocks him.
What?
I can't see you like this anymore.
Why?
Well, you're not my boyfriend.
She leaves the room. Then hurries down the front steps to the street. As Phoebe runs toward her house, Fraser remains in his room, bewildered. Next morning, nothing stirs at either house.
It's hard to look at harder yet to
Phoebe awakens in her bed. And slowly gets up. Fraser cuts the lawn at his house. In her room, Phoebe draws the curtains and goes back to bed. Fraser sits on his lawn, gazing forlornly at Phoebe's house. Later, Phoebe mopes on the couch in her housecoat.
You have seen a change in me.
Fraser languishes in his bedroom.
You will ask me.
Phoebe slouches on the couch, watching TV. Fraser walks to Phoebe's front door and rings the doorbell.
Not if it's good enough.
Phoebe ignores the bell.
Phoebe!
Finally, he gives up and walks away. Later, Phoebe slumps on the couch, disinterestedly eating pizza. Fraser hangs out on the school bleachers.
Once I knew my time was nearly filled.
At home, Phoebe looks at her list.
Move a little faster still. Never thought of what I might.
She drops the pages onto her half-eaten pizza.
Though it still remains.
And dials a number on her phone.
Hi.
This is Phoebe Lane. I was calling about the award for most outstanding graduating student. I was wondering when the decision was being made. You already made the decision?
Jamie takes a practice swing in his room.
He did.
Phoebe listens calmly.
You have seen the change in me.
Eyes glazed, Phoebe slowly puts down the phone.
You will ask me how it feels, not if it's good enough.
She slumps over on the couch and curls up into a ball.
You have seen a change.
In her graduation day fantasy, the plaque is snatched from her hands. When Phoebe looks around, she sees that her audience is gone, except for Fraser, who's busy cutting a lawn nearby. Later, Phoebe sleeps on the couch in the fetal position.
Not if it's good enough.
Robin enters the living room and sees Phoebe amid the remains of the pizza.
Phoebe? What's wrong? What's going on?
You were right. I am too much and not enough at the same time.
Robin hugs her consolingly.
Don't be so hard on yourself. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Soon after, in the kitchen.
Next, I'll be completely catatonic. I've seen it happen before. Don't be alarmed.
Alarmed? I'll finally get some peace and quiet. Emotional ups and downs are a sign that you're normal, not that you're having a nervous breakdown.
All the color just ran out of my life.
Don't have to be so melodramatic. Come on, it was one award, and look who they gave it to.
Phoebe considers this, then shakes her head.
I don't think it's the award.
You think it's Fraser?
Am I that much of a freak because I might have loved him?
It is kind of freaky. But it suits you.
What a way to spend graduation.
I think we should go, like we always planned.
No, no. I don't want to ruin your night. I wouldn't be any good company anyway.
I'm not going without you. So, if you want to ruin my night, you'll do it by forcing me to stay here with you.
Well, I guess I could go with you and Liz and the girls.
I don't know if you want to do that.
No, you're right. They probably don't want to hang out with me anyway.
Well, no, they're pretty non-discriminating when it comes to partying, but are you sure that's who you want to spend grad with?
Yeah, I want to have a normal grad and be like everyone else for one night.
Meanwhile, Fraser lies on his bed, reading.
What?
Bugs enters with a tray.
I thought you might want something to eat since you didn't come out for lunch.
I'm not hungry.
Might get stunted if you don't eat, or a disease. Are you sad?
None of your business.
If you're sad, why are you listening to sad music? Fraser, I said, if you're sad, why are you listening to sad music?
Set the tray outside my door.
Can't.
Why not?
Someone might step on it.
If you're gonna keep bothering me, you might as well just bring it in.
She places it beside him on the bed. Meanwhile, across the street, Robin and her friends guzzle tequila.
Could use a shot.
Phoebe accepts a glass. Fresh from the shower with her hair up in a towel, Phoebe watches stiffly as the girls cavort around.
We should probably get changed now.
The girls ignore her. Phoebe smiles as the girls dance away.
Thanks.
At Fraser's house.
First, we need the facts. You like Phoebe, but she doesn't like you anymore. Why not?
I don't know.
Maybe she likes someone else.
I don't think so. I think it has to do with something I did.
What did you do?
I'm not telling you.
It's going to be a lot harder to help you if I don't know everything.
Well, then I guess we'll just forget about it.
Have some chips?
He passes the bowl.
Knock yourself out.
Okay. So I think you should do something really nice for her tonight. To make up for whatever it was you did.
Like what?
I don't know. Come on, Fraser. What did you do?
I'm not going to see her tonight.
You have to. Where's she going to be?
College graduation.
College? Then you need to be older.
Across the street, Phoebe joins the other girls.
Phoebe, you look like hot stuff.
Phoebe grins and joins in the dancing. Gleefully dance on Phoebe's list. Phoebe grins good-naturedly. Robin smiles happily. Across the street, Fraser looks at a mirror and frets over his hair, then studies his reflection. He grabs a blazer and leaves the bathroom. Bugs waits in the hall with a feather boa.
You look great, but we've got to hurry.
You're not coming.
But you might get a bite.
Emerging from the house, Fraser straightens the blazer. Then takes it off and dumps it into a flower bed. He loosens his shirt collar as he walks to the sidewalk. Across the street, the girls leave the house in a tipsy mob. Fraser steps toward them.
Hey.
But Susanna blocks his way.
Where are you going?
I'm late.
The girls rush into the street, but Robin and Phoebe follow slowly.
I gotta talk to you about something.
Phoebe looks at Fraser from her driveway.
You know, I used to think we were friends.
Phoebe lingers behind as the others walk away.
But I don't know what to think anymore.
Friends? We were never friends. You've been mean to me since the day I moved in.
Phoebe observes their confrontation, then follows the others. Fraser steps past Susanna.
Phoebe!
Phoebe doesn't acknowledge him. When Fraser hurries after her, Susanna is dismayed.
Phoebe!
Phoebe stops and waits for Fraser.
Hey, little dude! Phoebe wants to come party with us.
Fraser walks toward them.
I need to talk to you.
Phoebe turns. Then steps toward him.
Oh, hey, Phoebe, wait. Give him the sombrero. Come on, you guys, let's go. We can catch up.
Are you kidding? I want to hear what she has to say, little dude.
Phoebe and Fraser stand face to face.
I need to talk to you. I'm sorry about the other night.
Don't be.
I feel like an idiot.
You're not.
What is
she doing?
Phoebe, be nice.
Phoebe and Frasier kiss.
Holy shit.
Susanna looks on sadly. Robin smiles as the kiss continues. Their lips part.
See? I'm an idiot, too. You know this can never work out.
I think it could if you stay.
Frasier.
Until I turn 21.
I want you to come with me tonight. Not as my boyfriend, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me.
I can do that.
They walk after the others.
I just hope you're not the
Well, I've been practicing all of my neck moves, so.
She throws her arm around his shoulders as they walk off. Later, at the house, Robin crosses the driveway in her bare feet with a bottle of wine and two glasses. Sitting on the grass beside Phoebe, she opens the bottle. Robin fills Phoebe's glass, hands it to her, then pours her own.
There's a chance the world might not accommodate your plans. You need to determine whether that's a problem with you or with the world. Just don't expect perfection from either party, or life becomes unbearable. It's not. It's really not.
This described version of Love That Boy was created by Audiovision Canada. The narrative description was written by Peter Agnes, narrated by Valerie Hunter, and produced by Marco Sorin. For information on other described movies and audio cinema presentations available from Audiovision Canada, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755. Cast: Phoebe, Nadia Litz. Robin, Nikki Barnett. Frasier, Adrian Dixon. Bugs, Patricia P.J. Crosby. Susanna, Ellen Page. Jamie, Dax Ravina. Liz, Alexandra Say. Young Phoebe, Lauren Eisner. Shauna, Amanda Smith. Nikki, Jennifer Kidd. Kwan, Jamie Shirko. Devin, Ken Harrington. Gardner, Mike O'Neill. Daniel, Anthony Black. Campus Juggler, Kevin Curran. Kayak Instructor, Marty Burt. Pharmacy Clerk, Travis Flint. Young Phoebe's Mother, Tara Doyle. Produced with the participation of Telefilm Canada, Astral Media, the Harold Greenberg Fund, Nova Scotia Film Development Corporation. Developed and produced in association with Chum Television. Produced in association with The Movie Network, Super Écran, Movie Central, Chorus Entertainment. Produced with the assistance of the Nova Scotia Film Industry Tax Credit, the Government of Canada, the Canadian Film or Video Production Tax Credit. Script Supervisor, Joanne Hagen. Production Manager, Carla Carly Morash. Production Coordinator, Faye Sullivan. First Assistant Director, Mary Reynolds. Second Assistant Director, Sarah Dunsworth. Third Assistant Director, Nicole Trask. Camera Assistant, Carrie Cunningham. Sound Mixer, Mike Smith. Post-Production Supervisor, Rob Blackie. Dialogue Editor, Mike Nichols. Sound Designer, Renee Beaudry. Foley Recordist, Luke Leger. Foley Artist, Krista Wells. Re-Recording Mixer, Alan Scarth. Symphony Artist, Doug Woods. Music Credits: Don't Tell Me It's Over, Awful Place, Say It Again, End of the Year, We Live Happily, Good Enough, Surf. Written and performed by Mike O'Neill. Who Cooks For You, So Can, 2002. Wine Tasting Jazz, Preparing Dinner Jazz, written and performed by Sandy Moore. Seeds 3A and 3C series was created by Christopher Zimmer. Filmed on location in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. Copyright IMX 3A and 3C Inc. 2003.
And don't tell me it's over now. And don't tell me it's over now. And don't tell me it's over now.